cut this on and bring Brent forward. Father, we are gathered this morning, as we do each Lord's Day, for worship primarily, but also, Lord, in this hour, to gather for fellowship and also, Father, to have our minds and hearts informed about things that matter to you. Father, in this series of Get Off Our Donkey, we are grateful for those that have made the effort to prepare the videos, and also, Lord, to prepare to share with us here out of our own church their experiences in these pressing matters of concern. And so I want to commend Brent to you this morning as he speaks, but also, Father, I want to commend our entire morning to you, Father. I pray that we would be true worshipers this morning, and that we would thoroughly enjoy and benefit from our worship experience, being in the presence of the living God. We pray for those in our church this morning that are in some distress. We do remember Mark Jones and his brother Brian, as tomorrow, I believe, they will try once again at Duke for this kidney transplant that Mark's waited on for some time. We do ask you, Father, that this time you might see it through. And we remember Molly Bartholomew this morning. She is closing in on her homegoing. We pray for her family as they escort her to heaven. And Father, there are many others. We pray for our churches in our city and in our world that are worshiping the living and true God today, that all of this would bring you much pleasure and would bring new citizens into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brent?
Good morning. Good to be here. My name is Brent Anderson. As Bernie said, I'm an elder here at Christ Covenant. I've been a member here since 1990. And we're going to talk about homelessness and homeless children today. And we're going to feature really two different ministries. One is called Church on the Street, and the other is called A Child's Place. And you're going to see a little bit about Child's Place in the video we're going to show in a few minutes. I'll tell you just something about myself. I did come to Christ when I was 23 years old. It was a few months from being discharged from the U.S. Army. And Jill and I, after that, were living in South Florida, and I became a deacon at a Bible church. And I started hearing a little bit about Reformed theology, and I attended a PCA church and was mentored and discipled by a young pastor there by the name of Harry Reeder. And so I know a lot of you know that name, of course. And so anyway, I ended up in the PCA back in probably about 1982, I'd say, something like that. Harry moved up here. Jill and I moved to Dallas, and we were in Dallas for 6 years. And my company relocated me here in Charlotte. And of course, we knew Harry, so we found a church home right away. So we've been here since 1990. My children attended Covenant Day School. They're in their 30s now. Do love this church, and I have actually worked in uptown Charlotte for 24 years now. I've worked in downtown Dallas for 6 and downtown Miami, and I've been engaged with homeless ministries really for just about 40 years, which is really the entire year I've been in banking. So anyway, what I'd like to do first is just go through very quickly. I've got a couple scripture. And could somebody with a loud, booming voice read Philippians 3, 20 and 21? Okay, great. And Jerry's on his iPhone, so he'll do this very quickly, I bet. And I know Jerry's got a loud, booming voice. He's a good friend of mine. Jerry? Yeah. Okay. All right. The next verse is going to be, while Jerry's looking for that, is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Okay. And then we're going to do the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is Luke 10, 25 through 37. And Jerry is ready.
Philippians 3,
20 and 21.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like the glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Great. Okay, so our citizenship is in heaven. I served with the 82nd Airborne 40 plus years ago, and I love this country, but my citizenship is in heaven, okay? That's our eternal home, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:20.
I'll try to boom.
Okay, all right, we got a boomer, okay.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We are ambassadors for Christ, okay? So what do you think about when you think of an ambassador? Just some comments.
Representative.
A representative, good, okay. All right, what else?
Relationship builder.
Relationship builder, okay. An advocate. Okay, what else?
You speak with some authority.
Exactly. And we bring, how does an ambassador conduct himself?
In the most honorable way.
Exactly. Thank you, Jerry. Okay. And where do they live? Do they live in their home country?
No,
they live somewhere else. Okay. Okay, so we are ambassadors for Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. So let's go through the parable of the Good Samaritan quickly. Someone want to read that? That is Luke 10, 25 through 37.
And behold, the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii. And gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise.
Great. Okay, thank you. Okay, so who is our neighbor? When we think of neighbors, we think of someone who lives next door to us or down the street. But who's our neighbor?
Someone who needs help.
Right. And they may be totally different than us, right? And I see a lot of parallels between this and the homelessness. And what we're going to talk about is Uptown Charlotte and all the glittery buildings that you see there. And you've got a lot of professionals that work there, but you've got a lot of homeless there too. And you'll see a lot of parallels between the Samaritans and the Jews. Who were the Samaritans?
Half-breeds.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly, half-breeds, yeah. Half Jews and half something else, Gentiles, right? Okay, and how were they respected by the Jews?
No.
We know that from the woman at the well. Okay. All right, and so who is our neighbor, really? Our neighbor is anyone that we come across, okay, that has a need. That's what Christ is saying, okay? And so he's really calling us to be ambassadors because our citizenship is in heaven, and we are to reach out and be neighborly to those that are totally different than us that we come across, okay? That is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay, so now what we're going to do now, we're going to show the video, and Bernie is my technology guy today. I had a lot of help with when I did the 18 to 22 group, and a lot of help with the young professionals, and not a lot of help with the seniors. Okay, but that was a challenge. Okay, all right, but
no pressure, Bernie.
Yeah,
no
there
pressure.
You go. Right. Okay, so we're going to see how Bernie does here. Okay. Bernie. Okay.
Right.
We're going to turn that. Okay. Just a couple observations. First of all, Annabelle Sudreth runs a child's place. We'll be talking about a child's place a little bit more later in the class. There were three children that were featured, Josh, Troy, and Naomi. Any observations? I mean, one would be that their dreams and aspirations are really no different than our children or grandchildren, I would say. Okay. All those same aspirations, that optimism that they had. The other thing I'm going to just mention is Pat McCrory. I don't know Pat very well. I've had lunch with him a few times. But he has mentored young men, African-American men. He's done that, I think, for his entire adult life. So he really does believe in all this. So. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about Church on the Street. Church on the Street, you've heard it. It's referred to as COTS. And what we do, we minister to the inner city homeless. Am I standing in the right place for the video, Susan?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we minister to the inner city homeless. And we serve breakfast on every Sunday morning at 6:30. We serve about 200, 250 meals. We partner with a church called Christ Life, and our job is really to provide food, some clothing, and to preach the gospel, and to pray with the homeless people in Charlotte. So let's go to the next slide. So Uptown Charlotte, home to big business and home to the homeless, okay? And so you see all this wealth here, and the homeless people live right in that same space, just like the Samaritans and the Jews lived in the same space in Israel. Let's go to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, so they are in our midst. Okay, this lady sits in that same bench every day, and what you'll see is that they have a lot of clothing on, and it may be 50 degrees out, and they're dressed for something like the 20s, but they have no place to store that clothing, so they wear it all day long, and so you can really easily spot the homeless by the clothing that they wear. The women like to wear clothing like men because they want to look like men. They don't want to look like a woman on the street, and then also the men's clothing is a lot warmer for the most part. So let's go to the next slide. And this is a gentleman that sits in the same. That's right outside the Wells Fargo building, and they are our neighbors. They are people that I see every day. Let's go to the next slide, Bernie. And this is the same gentleman again. And so, you know, we see the homelessness in Uptown Charlotte in particular. You don't really see it here in Matthews, do you? But I see it every day in Uptown Charlotte, especially if I walk up and down Tryon Street. Okay, so we'll go to the next slide. Okay, and so this is a scene from Church on the Street. This is in the morning. This is the serving line, and we hold it on North Tryon Street underneath the Berkshire Freeway 277, and that way if it is raining, we have some amount of shelter there. And we have probably, I'm going to say about 20, 25 volunteers that come out from different churches. Christ Covenant is one church, Christ Life and others come out. And so these are Christians that come out from all around Charlotte that minister, and I've gotten to know all of them pretty well. So let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, and so what we do, we actually have a group of people that arrive at the Wilcox, and actually I am a trained kitchen manager, okay, in case you wanted to know, and all of our COTS people are that cook. But anyway, we arrive about 5 a.m. and we cook actually about 600 pancakes, believe it or not. And it probably only takes, we got it down pretty good now, it only takes us about, I'm going to say 35, 40 minutes to cook 600 pancakes. And we got a lot of guys out there and women flipping lots of spatulas, okay? But anyway, what we do, we put the pancakes in insulated coolers, and we transport them uptown with syrup and butter and plates and forks and all the things that we need. And that's where we meet Christ Life. Christ Life does a full breakfast of eggs and sausage and lots of other things, coffee and juice. And we serve, like I say, about 200, 250 meals, I think. And you'll see a line here of homelessness here in just a minute. But let's go to the next slide. And we do have, we've got people that come out there with tracts and religious material. What we want to do, though, what we want to take the concept of feeding, which a lot of secular groups do. You've got the Uptown Men's Shelter. They will provide food. They will provide a place to sleep. They will provide some clothing, but they don't provide the gospel, okay? And so what we want to do is provide all of those things, plus the gospel, plus prayer, okay? So we will pray for the people we serve individually. A lot of them are Christians, believe it or not. A lot of them are Christians. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are in need. So let's go to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, and Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Okay, when Christ was feeding the 5,000, he had a throng of people that was following him around, and essentially they were following him because he could create food and effect out of thin air. He could heal the sick, and they loved all the materialism, okay? But what he was saying is there is so much more here. I am the bread of life, okay? In other words, salvation is through him. And so just like Christ in that respect, what we want to do, we want to provide the food, we want to provide the clothing, but there's so much more. There's the gospel of Christ, and so we will preach the gospel to them on Sunday mornings. We will pray with them. We will witness to them. So let's go to the next slide. Some of our younger volunteers. Let's go to the next slide. And that is a gentleman that we have, I've not actually seen him in some time, but we have a sound system that gets set up. There's a gas generator that we use. There's a lighting system. And so it's really a full worship service, as best we possibly can do in the time that we have. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, so our desire is not only to feed and provide clothing, but it's to share the gospel. And this is one of our young preachers who is preaching Christ to them that day. And so what we want to do also is build relationships with the men and women. We want to lead them to Christ, and we want to refer them to the different homeless agencies that are out there also. And you know, we know that Christ is transformational. Christ changes lives, and so that's what we're doing, and we're doing it also because the Lord commands us to do it. So let's go to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, so there's a story behind each one of these people. A lot of them, like I say, are Christians, and they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we'll go to the next slide again. And actually, before we started cooking in Wilcox, we actually cooked right on the street with a gas griddle, and so we did the cooking out there. The homeless would actually come and help us cook. Can't do that in Wilcox, of course, but we've got to know them that way. And on a cold morning, that was probably the most popular place to be, around the stove, okay? All right, so we'll go to the next slide again. And that's cooking in the Wilcox building, and those are some of our volunteers. And this was probably the first day that we started cooking in Wilcox, which is a little bit over a year ago. We made the transition from cooking on the street to cooking in Wilcox. So we'll go ahead and go to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, so our motivation comes partly from James. What good is it, my brothers, if someone can say that he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of them says, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, If it does not have works, it is dead. So the point is, again, what we want to do is combine giving the food, giving the clothing, with the gospel of Christ. And we want to put them both together, and only a Christian organization is going to do that. We don't want to be out there just witnessing, okay? And we don't want to just provide the clothing and the food. We want to put them both together in our service to the men and women. So we'll go to the next slide. And that's a couple of our Christ Covenant volunteers serving pancakes. And that's an insulated cooler you see there. So, and that is obviously summer. Okay, now here is the serving line, okay? And just, you know, we probably have at least 100 people in line that you can see there. And again, that's like a summer day. I see a lot of short sleeve shirts, and it looks pretty light. This time of year, it's going to be very cold out there. It'll be dark, and we'll be using the lighting system. But again, you know, there's going to be a line like that, and that line is probably quite a bit longer than that. That's all we could get into that photo. But there's probably, you know, another 50 people or so in line beyond that. So we'll go to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, two of the gentlemen that I've gotten to know over the years. Sometimes it's a little difficult to take a picture of a homeless person. They don't want their photos taken, but we ask permission, and this gentleman was fine with it. So we'll go to the next slide. There again, the serving line, and you can see it's mostly men. You can see some women there too. And we'll go to the next slide. And that's one of our volunteers actually got up on the Brookshire Freeway and took this shot. Okay, it was not me, I assure you, okay? So next slide. Okay, there again from the Brookshire, I think, serving breakfast. And that, you can get an idea of the serving line, and you can see some of the tables where the men and women were sitting. Next slide, and there again. So we'll go to the next slide. Okay, now this is Tommy, okay? I've gotten to know Tommy. Tommy is homeless. He was actually living in an abandoned building, and I gave him some clothing, and they actually locked the abandoned building that he was in. He lost all his clothing. I ended up giving him some more. He got a job at Operations Christmas Child and was loading trucks. It was a temporary job, and he was overjoyed to have it. I know the people up at Samaritan's Purse, and I was up there. They gave me a tour, and I mentioned Tommy, and they were going to put him on full time. And so we had a success there. I've given him, every time I see him, he wants prayer. And he wants prayer that the Lord will deliver him from that homelessness. And I've asked him to articulate his faith to me. He does it very, very clearly. And actually, if he were here, I think you'd really enjoy meeting him. But we'll go to the next slide. That is actually the van that we bought with the mercy offering. I think the van cost like $7,400. And the mercy offering was like $100 less than that, okay? And so there was an old Pepsi van that they had that just finally died. And they were without a van, I think, we were without a van for about, I'm gonna say, 3 or 4 weeks until we were able to get this one. And so we transport all the food in a van like this. So let's move on to the next slide. Okay. And this is really one of the verses that has really gripped me. In the interest of time, I think we're going to move forward. But just that last line, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Okay, so he's talking about feeding, if you're thirsty, giving drink, clothing people, and it's exactly what we do with Church on the Street. And so we're actually commanded to do this, and Christ expects us to do it. Okay, so we'll go to the next slide then. And this is the sin of partiality, and I'm not going to read this again because in the interest of time, but what it essentially says is that we are not to treat people differently if they are in a different station of life than we are at. Okay, so we need to, if they came into our church, we need to greet them as if they're no different than somebody who is who's wealthy. So we'll go to the next slide. Okay, and I think about this a lot. What if Christ came back to earth in a manner very similar to his first coming? Now, we all long for a second coming, but let's just imagine for a moment if he was on earth today, and where would he go, and what would he say to the mainline churches, and didn't he minister to the poor and the oppressed, and didn't he rebuke the religious leaders and the wealthy, and what would he say to us as a church, and would I walk right by him? And I think about that a lot, especially when I walk past a homeless person who is in need, which is really why I'm involved in Church on the Street. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, and I think about this also. Now, why in the world would I want to get out of a warm bed in the morning and go down to Tryon Street and serve to the homeless, okay? All right, and let's go to the next slide. Just think of the place that Christ left when he entered this world. He didn't leave a warm bed, okay? He left heaven, left glory, and entered a sinful world, and he just didn't serve breakfast in the cold for a few hours, but he laid down his life for us and our sins, okay? And he commands us to love one another, to love our neighbor, and we know that our neighbor is a broad group, okay? So think about that. Let's go on to the next slide, Bernie. Okay, what do we need to do? We have a head chef who is a kitchen manager, and we will see to it, if you want to be a head chef, that you will be trained as a kitchen manager. We also have someone that transports the food. And then we like to have about 3 assistant chefs, and we need about 3 people that will actually serve pancakes and food in the morning down on Tryon Street. So you can actually either serve at Wilcox, or you can serve on Tryon Street, or you can do both, okay? What we like to do, we like to have people on the street that are comfortable serving the homeless, praying with the homeless. The first time you do it, you're not gonna be comfortable. My friend Randy Neighbors, who's with MTW, would always say that the first time you're involved in a mission, like a street mission, you're a tourist. So you're sitting there, you're watching, okay? And you're taking everything in, but you're not really that engaged, okay? And so the thought is that you go out there, you watch, maybe we'll put you on the serving line, but once you start engaging the men and women, I think you'd be very comfortable doing it. And it's the type of thing, and I ask myself in the mornings, do I really want to get up and do this? And when I leave, I realize how blessed I was to have the opportunity to be there, and how blessed somebody else was, especially when I do that one-on-one ministry, which is really what I like the most. So we'll go on to the next slide. Okay, and so this is on volunteering, and in the interest of time, and we need to do a child's place. So we're going to keep going. Let's just keep going, Bernie. And you can, we need prayer, we need volunteers, and we do need some funding. So let's go ahead to the next. A child's place, okay. And very briefly, let's go to the next slide. In 1989, there were a group of women that were in a cemetery, and they noticed a number of children that were running around playing in the cemetery, and they said, why are you not in school? And they were told that these children couldn't be in school because they didn't have a permanent address, okay? And so that was really the birth of a child's place. And so what happened in 1989, a child's place was started, and they started, this group of women started educating children in a classroom at First Pres uptown. And since that time, they are actually ministering to about 2,500 homeless children. And there's about 5,000 homeless children in Charlotte-Mecklenburg today. Okay, and so homeless children are hungry twice as often as other children, sick 4 times more often, and 2 or 3 grade levels behind, and have emotional problems, and their graduation rate is below 25%. And they live in, there's a number of uptown shelters that they can live in. And I volunteered there. There's motels, and sometimes they live in cars. We don't see them out on the street that often. And they actually try to segregate the women with children from the men. But we'll go to the next slide. Okay, so Child's Place has a lot of different ways to get involved. They have a program called Lunch Buddies. They have another one of tutors, and what you can do, you can just have a one-on-one relationship with a homeless child. And so you can actually volunteer online with them. But let's go to the next slide. And you can do assist in the classroom. They've got their own classrooms. And you can provide snacks. That's an easy way to start getting engaged with a Child's Place. And then they have a volunteer camp also where you can actually volunteer. So let's go to the next slide. And you can volunteer at their office, and then they have on-call volunteers. If they have a need for volunteers, they like to have this on-call group. So let's go to the next slide. And actually, if you want to just get involved, you can do a lunch buddy for a day, and you're not actually committed, but you just try it for a day and see how it is. And the final thing I've got on here is packing snack bags. And you're actually not engaged with a homeless child at that point. You're just doing something behind the scenes. So, next slide, Bernie. The wrapping Christmas presents, donation drives, just a whole series of things that they can do. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to open it up for questions. I think we've got just a few minutes. Jerry?
Brett, all of the deacons have been asked to read the book, When Mercy Hurts.
Right.
And it's a holistic approach to the issues of people on the street who need mercy. My question is, do you see much evidence of people coming out of homelessness like the young black man that's going to work for Samaritan First? Or is it just a vicious cycle that continues and the same people are there year after year after year?
Yeah. First of all, we see some evidence of it. I know I can think of about five or six men that I've ministered to at COTS that have found jobs, permanent employment.
And then come off the street into their own living quarters.
Right. So I've seen a number that have actually done it. But again, we're not there to provide them jobs. Okay, we're there to provide them food, clothing, and really minister to them spiritually. Okay, and people have said, well, you need to come up with a jobs program. Well, there are other job programs out there. So we will try to connect them. And any type of ministry needs to be concerned about mission creep and getting trying to do too many things and losing focus. Yes.
One time I went to Crisis Ministry, met with the head guy there.
Right.
And I asked, similar to your question, at what point, what is the expression, you feed it, give them a fish and they'll eat one meal and all. And he said, but Jan, these people, you have support teams. These people have nobody.
Right.
He said, you've got to take care of their need now. And then you can, minister to them.
Right. I've volunteered there quite a bit. I'm familiar with the Crisis Assistance Ministry. Okay.
What's the age span of the kids that are on the street or in the programs?
All ages.
And also, is there a point that they, is there a concentration in Charlotte Mech, do you know of, whether in particular schools, certain areas or not?
You're going to find that in probably West Charlotte, I would assume. And actually, there's a shelter over next to Crisis Assistance Ministry. It's run by the Salvation Army. It's called a Center of Hope, and it's a women and children's shelter. So, Gary?
To that question, Walter Byers Middle School has a very high percentage of homeless children because it is located downtown near the homeless shelters.
Right.
There are ministries to that particular school.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Questions?
heard there was a high percentage of mental illness.
You're going to see some of that. To be honest about it, I don't see a lot of that. I've seen a little bit of it. And what we see is some past evidence of substance abuse, alcohol or drugs. We'll see that. And you'll see a little bit of maybe some sort of mental disorder, but for the most part, the men and women we minister to are articulate. They have just been left behind in society. I think probably about 80% are African American, and they just haven't had that opportunity to really participate in society the way that that others have. So, anybody else?
Close to prayer.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity to talk about homeless children and homelessness, Lord. Lord, I would just pray that you would move our congregation, Lord, move this body, Lord. And Lord, I would just pray that many would get engaged in some sort of mercy ministry, Lord, be it either church in the street or a child's place or something related to the homelessness, Lord, or one of the other agencies that is working on this Get Off Your Donkey campaign, Lord. And Lord, I would just pray that you would remind us, Lord, that our neighbors, Lord, are everyone that we come in contact with, Lord, and that we are to love our neighbor, Lord, and that we are to minister to them, Lord, when they have a need, Lord, just like the Good Samaritan did, Lord. And Lord, I would just pray that this congregation, Lord, would be ambassadors for Christ, Lord, understanding that their citizenship is in heaven, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us, Lord. I pray for the service before us, Lord. I pray that men and women will have their hearts just stirred by the preaching this morning, Lord. And Lord, may we be a service-oriented church, Lord. And Lord, may we just go out into the community, Lord, in Matthews and in Charlotte, Lord, and minister to the people who have a need, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Have a great week.